What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT, and I got the ultimate Super Bowl 58 breakdown for you guys this afternoon. You guys don't know how excited I am for this episode. I've been thinking about this show all day long, and I got a group project that I just got done doing, right? And it was like, oh, can you stay longer? I was like, no, I gotta work. They was like, what you do? I say, I gotta go talk to the people. You know, like, I gotta go talk about the Super Bowl. And this is a Super Bowl that I think is gonna be an all-time classic. Look, these weren't the two teams or the matchup that we necessarily wanted to see. But this is an interesting matchup because you got the 49ers, a team who most people pick to be in this game, against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are basically a Cinderella story when most people pick them to only win a playoff game and then be one and done after. And then yet they find a way to still get into this game, even though this isn't their best team. Are they going to be able to complete the Cinderella run and cement themselves as one of the dynasties in the NFL? Are they going to be able to enshrine themselves in history? Hell, Brock Purdy, the storyline with him, if he wins this game, the narrative about the quarterback position in the National Football League is going to change, because people are going to be like, okay, if you can win with a guy who was the last pick of the draft, you can win with damn near anybody if you're a good enough coach. So this is a way interesting Super Bowl that a lot of people seem to not really enjoy or just admire the Super Bowl for the teams that we have in, because everybody's so focused on the matchup that they wanted. But just because you don't get the matchup that you wanted doesn't mean that the game is going to be boring. Like, I promise you, this should be a really good game. I'm going to be talking about how these two teams got here, their paths to Super Bowl 58, their biggest weaknesses, why both teams can win this matchup, and the seven players I feel have the best possibility to win Super Bowl MVP. And lastly, I got some thoughts on Taylor Swift, how NFL fans feel about all the attention she gets. Leave a like, subscribe if you haven't already. Remember that we're not just a YouTube channel. We are a podcast. You can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. Remember to give us a 5-star review. Like and subscribe if you enjoy the content. Share it with a friend. If you love the content, you want to support us, we're not asking for any of your money. All we ask is that you support the podcast, support the channel. Quick message from our partner, Mint Mobile, before we start. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner, Mint Mobile, has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. The 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs are squaring off in Super Bowl 58. And we got to talk about how both of these two teams got to this game. San Francisco was a lot of people's preseason prediction to win the NFC. All right. And for the entirety of this season, they've been unquestioned the most dominant team in this conference. They rolled over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. They destroyed and dismantled the Philadelphia Eagles. Once the 49ers beat the brakes off of Philadelphia, that's when their season started to turn left. Their only two losses in the NFC have come to the Rams and the Minnesota Vikings. And their other losses have occurred in the other conference. So if we're talking about the undisputed best team from their respective conference, it's the 49ers. Meanwhile, you got the Kansas City Chiefs who nobody, well, I won't say nobody unless you're a Chiefs fan, but the majority of people out there, myself included, did not expect for Kansas City to go any further than the wild card round. That was because of all the struggles that they've had on offense this year. They struggle to generate big plays consistently. They don't have a good cast of wide receivers. Outside of Rashee Rice, the receiving core is terrible. And then you have Travis Kelce, who looked washed up until the playoffs came around. And then Patrick Mahomes has statistically his worst season that he's been starting for Kansas City in the NFL. But all of a sudden, they get to the playoffs and they flip a switch. They make easy work of the Miami Dolphins. They take care of business on the road against a Buffalo Bills team that, yeah, they had injuries, but the consensus was that they were going to win that game because Buffalo already beat Kansas City in the regular season. You see, in the regular season, the Kansas City Chiefs were in control of the one seed in the AFC. And we seem to forget that. They were 7-2 in the one seed. All of a sudden, they lose to Philadelphia. And then they struggle late November, early December. You lose to the Green Bay Packers, the Buffalo Bills due to J.R. Toney. Then you had the weird game when the Raiders beat you with Aiden O'Connell not throwing another completion after the first quarter. So you would think that Kansas City was going to have no chance of making it to the Super Bowl with how tough the AFC has been this season with all the great quarterbacks that we have. You would have thought that Lamar Jackson would have been able to get it done with how much of a superior team the Ravens were compared to Kansas City on paper, and with him winning MVP for the second time in his career, all the stars were perfectly aligned for the Ravens to make it out of the AFC. But Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, they were able to be more composed in that game. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, they lost their composure. Lamar was throwing his helmet. You could tell that it was their first time being in that game. It wasn't for Kansas City. Kansas City, being the team that they are, they know that once you get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. All that goes out the window because the playoffs is a different brand of football. And Patrick Mahomes and this whole entire Chiefs team, they're playing their best football at the right time. You want to play your best football in the playoffs. I'd rather play shitty the last half of the regular season and look good in the playoffs than look strong throughout the regular season and look like how the 49ers have the last two games that we've seen them in. You see, Kansas City has made a strong run to the Super Bowl. All right, the fact that the 49ers are getting credit because they have a more talented team, I think undermines the importance of what makes football so great. What makes football so great is that anything you say has to be showed on the field. And Kansas City isn't the most talented team, but neither were the last three Patriots teams that won their last three Super Bowls with the Brady Belichick era. The Patriots, even with their best teams, didn't win Super Bowls. They got upset. The best teams don't always win. The team that wins is the team that is able to execute in the fourth quarter, doesn't beat themselves, and has great coaching. You know that you're getting that out of Kansas City. You got Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, the three staples of that offense, the three staples of that organization, and this dynasty that is impending right now. San Francisco, they were in this game before. And the reason why they lost is really opposite to how Kansas City got here. You see, in the last Super Bowl that the 49ers played against Kansas City, they were in control for four quarters and 7 minutes. And then Kansas City and Mahomes took over the rest of the game. You see, Kansas City has the true heart of a champion. They show up in the biggest moments. When they need to get a big play, they find a way to execute and get it done. You can't say the same for the 49ers, and that's why they've limped into the Super Bowl. You see, with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm at quarterback in that Super Bowl in 2019 against Kansas City, he played very well up until the fourth quarter when he overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. And you can't just put all of the blame for San Francisco losing that Super Bowl on Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan, he is notoriously known for choking away Super Bowl leads. He did it against Kansas City the last time these two teams met up in the Super Bowl, and he did it when he was the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons when they gave up that 28-3 lead. This dude has questionable play calling when the game is on the line and when he's playing from behind. He gets a little bit tight. He looks a little bit nervous and anxious, and he gets away from what works. And that's why the Chiefs have made a strong run into the Super Bowl, and the 49ers are limping into the Super Bowl, not playing their best football. And that's why I referenced that last Super Bowl matchup between these two teams, because the same 49ers team that we saw that year is the same 49er team that I see this season with a worse defense. You see, San Francisco, for as talented as a team that they are, they haven't played like it the last 2 weeks. We haven't seen the most dominant team in the NFC. They nearly lost to the Detroit Lions. They nearly lost to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers with home field advantage and the first round bye. This is not a team that is playing great ball. And what even concerns me more is that they beat the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship having concerns with effort. Chase Young doing his own thing. The pass rush not really being all that great. You can say that San Francisco find a way to win the game, and that's what matters, and that's why they're in this game. And it's a testament to how talented of a team they are. If you can not give it all you have effort-wise and you can still win, and do it from comeback fashion, that shows how talented you are. But the Lions lost that game because of coaching decisions, especially in the fourth quarter. And I'm not just talking about the fourth down decisions by Dan Campbell that didn't work out. The timeout that he burned late was pretty stupid. And the decision making to run it on that last touchdown attempt was really idiotic when they needed to score fast, when they really should have thrown the football. Kansas City, you're not going to have that issue. Kansas City, you have to beat this team clean because they're not going to give you any opportunities for you to take advantage of mistakes. Yeah, in the regular season, they had some errors when it came to getting lined up correctly. Kadarius Toney, there were a lot of false start and holding penalties called on their two starting tackles. But in the playoffs, this has been a fairly clean football team. Great coaching. You have been very disciplined. The 49ers have been the total opposite. And this is the worst defense that they've had in all the years that Kyle Shanahan has been their head coach. The 49ers got to the Super Bowl looking strong in the regular season. And even during the regular season, when they started 5-0, they lost their next three games, and then they came off a bye and beat the hell out of Jacksonville, won six straight, and then lost to Baltimore. This is a team that isn't the dominant team that people perceive them to be. And they're going up against a Kansas City team that right now, they're locked in. They're executing on all three levels, offense, defense, and special teams. They got held to 17 points against the best defense in the NFL this year. The 49ers defense is not that great. The 49ers got here because they were able to take advantage of bad coaching decisions by Dan Campbell. And they showed up against Jordan Love on the final drive to get that interception on him. But he made a young quarterback mistake. You're not going to get those mistakes out of Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs right now have a lot of momentum. They can truly say that, you know, we ran the table. We got in here because we flat out beat everybody we played. We were the better team. They were the better team against the Ravens. They were the better team against the Bills and the Dolphins. The 49ers, You can't say they look like the better team than the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round. You can't say they look like the better team than the Detroit Lions. They only play in the second half. And you can say that's a heart of a champion too. I can't give praise to Kansas City for turning things around and not give praise to the 49ers for doing the same thing. But you see, the way the 49ers won was really ugly. You're not going to be able to come back down three scores in the second half against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. That's not going to happen. They're too well coached of a football team, and they have one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever touch a football. So if you get down early against Kansas City, your ass is cooked. So these are the ways these two teams got to this game. The Chiefs got here not really finishing the regular season off strong, but they flipped the switch in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, Travis Kelce, who looks washed up in the regular season, is having his best playoff run of his career. Patrick Mahomes is completely flawless right now. He's making no mistakes. It seems like he's throwing no inaccurate passes. He's making no bad decisions. All he's doing is going out there and executing and dominating. And you got a team that's playing their best football right now. This is the best football that Kansas City has played all season long versus the 49ers. They've limped to the finish line. Now, they still got in here, and they have the opportunity to recorrect some things or rework some things. But at the end of the day, I believe what you are right now going into this game is truly what you're going to be on the field. Now, take that for what you want, but Kansas City has played better football in the playoffs than what the 49ers have. The Chiefs look strong, and that's how they've gotten into this game. The 49ers have gotten to this game based off, you know, them being able to out-talent people, taking advantage of costly mistakes and bad decision-making from opposing coaches and the quarterback. You're not going to have those same things against the Kansas City Chiefs occur. The 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs have some really glaring weaknesses that we got to discuss going into Super Bowl 58. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, right? This is a team that offensively, they lack explosiveness. They struggle to generate big plays in the passing game. And the way they move the ball is by being methodical. You know, they just move the chains. They're really good at ball control because you got the run game, which is functioning at a really high level right now with Isaiah Pacheco being the lead back. And Isaiah Pacheco, he's going to be able to take advantage of a very porous San Francisco 49ers run defense. Now, both of these two teams have not good run defenses, but the 49ers run defense is slightly worse than Kansas City's. Kansas City, James Cook, Josh Allen were running all over that defense. Last week, they looked good in the box score against the run because the Ravens didn't care to run the football. They only gave the ball to the running backs six times in that game. Against the 49ers, you're going up against a team that their identity, their heart and soul is what? Running the football. So the run defenses of both of these two teams is a really big issue. Who's going to be able to take more advantage of it? Possibly it could be the 49ers. Possibly. But the reason why you can't mark it down as a guarantee that the 49ers are going to be able to run all over Kansas City's porous run defense is because their interior of their offensive line is not good. They have bad center play, and they have really bad guard play from one of their two old guards. Kansas City, who do they have? Chris Jones, the monster in the middle. You got George Karloftis. You have a really good rotation of pass rushers and guys who can disrupt the rhythm of this 49ers offense, which is all about getting the ball out quick, throwing with anticipation, using the run to set up the play-action passing game. When you're going up against Kansas City, they make it difficult for you to do that with how good they are at getting penetration. Not just with getting after the quarterback, but with also being able to get run stuff behind the line of scrimmage. The 49ers' offensive guard and center play is a major, major concern. When you got a guy like Chris Jones, who definitely could win MVP in this game, lining up at D-tackle, if he just has one of those games when he's just unblockable and he has like 2.5 sacks, it's going to be a major swing for Kansas City being able to get the Super Bowl. You see, the 49ers, their lack of talent at center and offensive guard hasn't really been exploited like that until we've gotten to the playoffs. Aaron Jones, you know, he had a really monstrous day against that 49ers defensive line, but also their defensive line, I felt, for the most part, did a really good job at making Brock Purdy uncomfortable. Now, their run defense was not so great, but you look at what the Lions did, hell, Christian McCaffrey still had a pretty good game, but for Christian McCaffrey standards, that was a B-minus performance. The Detroit Lions' run defense was really good because they were able to get penetration in the backfield due to the weakness of San Francisco not having good play out of their center and starting offensive guard. Now, something that really concerns me also about the 49ers is that defensively, I don't know how you can trust them in this game against Patrick Mahomes. Look, we know that Kansas City's wide receiver core is not good, but the 49ers, their secondary is heavily overrated. The only way their defense is really good is when their pass rush is able to get after the quarterback, and their pass rush is having a down year. This is the worst that the 49ers' pass rush has been in three seasons. You went from Robert Saleh to D'Amico Ryan's two stud defensive minds to Steve Wilkes, who isn't bad, but he's a middle-of-the-pack defensive coordinator. And that's pretty evident because you look at the 49ers and all the talent that they have on defense, and you would think that this should be one of the best defenses in the NFL with Arik Armstead, Chase Young, and Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave, but not all those guys play up to the level of talent that they have. And that's why the 49ers defense struggled against the Detroit Lions and struggled against Jordan Love and the Packers. The 49ers' run defense is not great, and neither is Kansas City's. Kansas City, though, they're not a team that really needs to run the football to win games, at least a game like this. They only run the football to keep the defense at bay because you got to be able to be balanced. Complementary football is what wins championships. Kansas City doesn't need to run for 150 rushing yards to win. All they need is for Isaiah Pacheco to get 4 or 5 yards here and there, keep the chains moving, keep the defense guessing, and that's about it. Isaiah Pacheco, he probably should get around 18, 20 carries in this game. He'll probably have around 90 rushing yards and maybe a touchdown or two. But Kansas City isn't a team that really is built to dominate a team like San Francisco up front if San Francisco's defense shows up and they play up to the level of talent that they have. Their defensive line and their effort issues were on full display against the Detroit Lions. You got Chase Young cutting up field, making terrible decisions, taking terrible angles against the run. Like San Francisco's defense, when they don't have that pass rush or that defensive line isn't activated, their defense is really shaky. Now, they got some really good players on the back end, Tre'Davious Ward. They got a pretty decent safety. And we know how great their linebackers are. But when the pass rush isn't there, this defense just isn't the same. Kansas City's offensive line is playing some good football right now. They're not giving up a lot of pressures, not a lot of sacks. Patrick Mahomes is making some magic happen, but these offensive guards that Kansas City has are way better than anything that the 49ers have. So for Kansas City offensively, yeah, you may not have a lot of talent at wide receiver, but that's not necessary in a game like this when you got your offensive line playing at a high level. You have Travis Kelce playing great football. You still got Pacheco and you got Rashee Rice. You have enough talent to work with. that you can have success with San Francisco's defense as long as you can continue to play as well as what you have up front on the offensive line. So these are my biggest weaknesses for both the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs heading into Super Bowl 58. Leave your thoughts in the comment section down below. The Kansas City Chiefs are in, once again, another Super Bowl, and they're an underdog. They're a 1.5-point favorite right now, and they've been doubted for not just the whole entire season, but throughout this whole entire playoff run. There were people saying that they were going to lose to Miami. They smashed Miami. Oh, well, this is their first ever playoff game on the road. They're going to struggle against the Buffalo Bills in that hostile environment, and they took care of business against Buffalo. And then they got it done on the road against the Baltimore Ravens, who not only have been the most dominant team in the NFL when they've been playing at home, but they have been regarded by most people to have the most talented team in the whole entire NFL this season. And Lamar Jackson is winning his second MVP award of his career, and he had a way better supporting cast and an overall better team than Patrick Mahomes, and yet the Chiefs still got it done. How are they going to find a way to overcome the odds again in the final game of the season to really cement themselves in NFL history as a dynasty? Well, I have the secret, people. First of all, the 49ers defense is really overrated. I don't know why people continue to praise this defense and name all the star players they have when this defense has played like dog shit their last two games. I don't care what the 49ers did in a regular season. Playoff football is different from regular season football. Look at what you did, Kansas City Chiefs fans, to get here. You didn't look that good in the regular season the last final months. And then you get to the playoffs and you just flip the switch and you're playing your best football. You're going up against a team right now that has limped to the finish line. They haven't had a lot of clean wins lately. Their wins have been due to either bad coaching decisions, being over-aggressive, having bad clock management, Green Bay just having a young quarterback making young QB mistakes. Patrick Mahomes is playing flawless football right now. I don't care about Kansas City's lack of talent at wide receiver because it doesn't matter. Their offensive line is playing great. Like, your offensive tackles have just also, like the whole entire team, just found the way to flip the switch and figure out the issues that they were dealing with in the regular season and find a way to correct those issues for this playoff run. Kansas City can have success and score points on San Francisco's defense. I'm expecting Kansas City to at least score somewhere in the high 20s to maybe the early 30 ranges on San Francisco's defense. Like, I'm sick and tired of people praising the 49ers defense because of the names they have. The names they had got shredded by Jordan Love, Jared Goff. Kansas City's defense has looked like an elite defense all throughout the year, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, with how well he's playing right now and the connection between him and Travis Kelce looking better than ever, the 49ers, they got talent, but they're not playing up to it right now. You should be able to move the ball with a high amount of efficiency. You can't generate big plays, but you don't necessarily need to be great at generating big plays, because with your methodical approach, how well you are at just finding ways to move the chains and take time off the clock and be efficient with your offense, the 49ers aren't good on third down. That's why the Detroit Lions were able to get up to such a big lead so early. The 49ers' third down defense has been a big reason for their defensive drop-off this season under Steve Wilks. DeMeco Ryans, when his defense was in third down situations, they were always getting off the field. You can't say the same thing for the 49ers under Steve Wilks. Kansas City offensively is going to have success against the 49ers. As long as your offensive line plays well, it doesn't really matter at the lack of supporting cast Patrick Mahomes has with how well he's playing, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco, they can get it done. Now, your defense is really a large reason why I believe you're truly going to win this game, all right? The 49ers offense has looked shaky as well in the first half of games. San Francisco, for some odd reason, they only play 30 minutes. They don't play the full 60. They can't afford to get out to a slow start against you. Remember this also. Kyle Shanahan, even with the lead, he can't be trusted in this game. We've seen him as the offensive coordinator for the Falcons be responsible for them blowing that 28-3 lead. We've seen him blow a lead when they were up 10 points in the last Super Bowl matchup between you two teams. Your defense is aggressive. Steve Spagnuolo is known for sending a lot of pressure, and he has the label of being named Big Time Spagnuolo. You want to know why he has that nickname? Because he's one of the best coordinators in all of football at being able to have his defense playing at an elite level in the biggest games of the season. And I expect that to be the same case in this game here against a 49ers offense that has struggled against aggressive defenses. Look at all of the games that San Francisco has lost this year. Minnesota Monday night. What does Brian Flores do? He's their defensive coordinator. He sends a lot of pressure. He has aggressive defense. The Baltimore Ravens under Mike McDonald, aggressive defense. Same thing with the Cleveland Browns, aggressive defense. Pass rushers that can get after you. When the 49ers offense goes up against aggressive defenses, teams that really attack the quarterback, can get after you, blitzing or just rushing for, they struggle because they don't have good interior offensive line play. And plus, this is an offense that is predicated on timing and anticipation. And when you can get fast pressure on the quarterback, like Kansas City can, you ruin the timing between Brock Purdy and these wide receivers because it's all about rhythm. And when you're consistently getting in the backfield, getting constant pressure, that's how you force Brock Purdy to have these games when he's making critical mistakes, when you're aggressive, when you're not allowing him time to just 1, 2, 3, drop back, get the ball out fast. You know, you got to be aggressive when you're going up against the 49ers. They're a team that's very physical. We know the brand of football that Kyle Shanahan likes to play. They like to play smash mouth. So can Kansas City. Kansas City is not only a physical football team, but an aggressive football team. And these style of teams have given the 49ers problems this season. I'm giving you guys some information that I don't hear a lot of people talking about in the national media. Not enough people have talked about that. When the 49ers offense goes up against aggressive defenses, Browns, Ravens, Vikings, Kansas City, they struggle. And I feel like that's going to be the same case in this game for Kansas City if they end up winning this thing. If they win this thing, a lot of people are going to be shocked at how well their defense played because they held the 49ers offense to probably under 17 points. When you have aggressive defense that can rush the quarterback, can win up front like Kansas City can, you can beat San Francisco and you can slow down this offense. You may not be able to slow down Christian McCaffrey, but you definitely can contain him. And he definitely can be contained. And if you get the 49ers in a situation where they can't run the football and you ruin their passing game because Brock Purdy is a little rattled, he's off base, that's when the turnovers come in. That's when you get those extra possessions. That's when you get those turnovers. You get the ball back to your offense and hopefully favorable field position. And that's when Patrick Mahomes really starts to go to work because you know that you can trust Patrick Mahomes. You don't know if you can trust Brock Purdy. You see, quarterback is one of those positions that everybody gives all the praise to. But people seem to forget that for you to be a great quarterback, you got to have great pieces around you. Patrick Mahomes is one of the few players that I truly ever say, I'm not going to count him out. I'm not going to bet against him. I'm going to bet on him because he's playing in this game because he's the quarterback. Same thing with Tom Brady. You know the old expression, you can never bet against Brady. Well, you can never bet against Patrick Mahomes. Why is that? When football is a team game that people have so much confidence in one player, it's because Patrick Mahomes is at such a different level where he truly can elevate his teammates. That's so cliche, and it gets overused a lot. Elite quarterbacks make their teammates better. Well, that shit is true for Patrick Mahomes. Like, Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls with fucking Chris Hogan. Do you know where Chris Hogan is at right now? He's playing lacrosse. Patrick Mahomes is in the Super Bowl with MVS, his best rookie being Rashee Rice, an aging Travis Kelce. Most of these receivers, we don't know who the hell their names are. Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you know who these dudes are. Most of us don't, unless you really follow the National Football League like that. The reason you've gotten to this point is because of the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. He's playing the best football that we've ever seen him play right now. No turnovers, completely flawless, not a lot of inaccurate passes. He just seems to just be making great decisions back there. That's all you can put it. He's just a guy balling out playing football. As long as you have 15, I'm never going to bet against you. I'm never going to doubt you. I learned my lesson when I took the Baltimore Ravens money line. I learned my lesson, and I'm not about to get burnt again. I'm not. Patrick Mahomes, what makes him so special is that, yeah, he's this all-world talent that can make all the throws. He's a really creative, elusive runner. But he shows up when the game is on the line. Josh Allen didn't show up in the fourth quarter late. Neither did Lamar Jackson. Neither did Tua Tagovailoa. Is Brock Purdy going to be another quarterback who gets outplayed by Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter? Because you remember, the last 49ers quarterback that you played in the Super Bowl when you won, he played a really good game for the first three quarters, got outplayed in the fourth quarter when it mattered. Listen, I'm taking Kansas City. Kansas City is going to win this Super Bowl. Mark my words. I don't care about the talent discrepancy in this game. It really doesn't matter. Because even if you want to go back to the regular season and talk about how the 49ers rolled over the Cowboys and the Eagles, cool, but both of those two teams were early playoff exits. Kansas City, even in their losses to the Eagles and the Buffalo Bills and some of the better teams in the NFL, they never got blowed the fuck out. Like, they've been competitive. If you're going to beat Kansas City, it's not going to be by you just routing them. You're truly going to have to beat this team clean. And the 49ers haven't shown the ability to beat a team clean. Hell, you don't even know if you can trust your kicker. I should have talked about that in my biggest weaknesses. I might redo that segment over. But how the Kansas City Chiefs can win the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes plays well. Your offensive line continues to play good like how they have the last few weeks. And then your defense does what it's been doing all season long, getting after the quarterback, being aggressive. And that's what disrupts the rhythm and timing of Kyle Shanahan's offense. And that's how you win Super Bowl 58 and cement yourself in NFL history as a dynasty. The 49ers. The last time you went against Kansas City in the Super Bowl a few years ago, you lost this game. What do you have to do to make sure that you don't fall fate to Patrick Mahomes again? Well, first thing is, get out to a fast start. You can't expect to beat Patrick Mahomes coming from down three possessions in the second half. It just isn't going to happen. You want to know why? Because you're not going to be gifted extra opportunities due to aggressive decision making. You're not going to have costly fumbles late in the game. You're going up against a team that's been here before and they know what it takes to win. You don't, because your head coach, when he's been in the Super Bowl the last two times he's appeared in this game, the OC for the Falcons, he was responsible for them choking that 28-3 lead, and they choked away a 10-point lead when you got to this game last time. So you got to make sure that not only you get out to a fast start, but in the fourth quarter, this team is as locked in as what they've been all year long. Because that's really where it's going to matter. You see, if you go down 3 points, maybe a touchdown at halftime, that's not bad. But you can't allow yourself to get outscored and boat raced in the first half of this game and expect to come back. You need to start out fast. Kyle Shanahan is known for scripting plays, so his first 30, 40 plays that he got scripted out for this matchup better be the best set of scripted plays that he's ever picked. Another thing that you got to do is you need Brock Purdy to show up in the fourth quarter. And I'm not talking about what he did against the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions, because neither one of those two teams had great defenses. The Chiefs have a truly great defense. They have aggressive defense. And these are the style of defenses that Brock Purdy has struggled against. Remember back during the regular season when the 49ers lost to the Browns, the Ravens? What do both of those two teams have in common? Aggressive defenses. Remember when Brock Purdy had those costly interceptions and that Monday night loss against Minnesota, who also runs an aggressive style defense under Brian Flores? They lost that game because Brock Purdy and this offense get off rhythm and their timing gets ruined when you're going up against aggressive defenses. Brock Purdy, especially in the fourth quarter against these kinds of defense, is really ineffective. You're going to need Brock Purdy to start this game out hot and be able to carry that into the fourth quarter and be able to maintain that. 49ers fans get really defensive when you talk about Brock Purdy's current status as what he is as a quarterback. Is he an elite quarterback? Is he a good quarterback? The reason why they get upset is because you took this guy who was Mr. Irrelevant, you developed him into an MVP candidate this season. And people don't believe that a guy who gets drafted that low can truly be this good as what he's shown. But the theory that I have is that, you know, if the 49ers lose this game because Brock Purdy is not able to make the big throws in the fourth quarter that Patrick Mahomes can make, it's going to be the narrative that defines his career unless he gets back to this game again and can get it done. You need Brock Purdy to play his best game. You need to. You can't afford him to play terrible in the first half and then bounce back strong in the second half. You need him to play a full 60-minute game where he's giving you MVP-level play like he demonstrated in the regular season. Christian McCaffrey, we know that he's going to be the bell cow and the workhorse of this offense. But even if he doesn't have a great game, you know, he still is going to do enough where he probably gives you 80 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. So even if Christian McCaffrey doesn't show up in this game, you're still going to need Brock Purdy to also have to extend some plays, use his legs, buy time for guys to get open. Brock Purdy has to play at a high level. Now, if Christian McCaffrey shows up, that's going to be huge for San Francisco, because that's the identity of their offense. And when they get away from their identity, that's when they find themselves in trouble. They're not a team that is like Mike Leach or Lincoln Riley air raid. We're finna throw the football all over the yards 40, 50 times. They are a team that, yes, they are a really good passing team, but their identity is using the run to set up the pass and get that play-action passing game going. That's when Brock Purdy does all those crazy ball fakes and play-action fakes. The 49ers need a good game out of Brock Purdy, and they need Christian McCaffrey to have a good game also to give Brock Purdy a better chance of having a successful outing. Defensively, your defense needs to play like a bat out of hell, because what we've seen in your last two games has been really uninspiring as somebody who thought about picking the 49ers to win this game covering the spread. Like, the defense has been atrocious against the Detroit Lions. You gave up 130-something rushing yards in the first half. Jordan Love and Aaron Jones were going crazy against you in the divisional round. You got Steve Wilks calling out the defense for their lack of effort against the Detroit Lions, and you won that game somehow. Normally, When a team gets called out for a lack of effort is when they lose, not in a win. What that shows me is that your defense is capable. All right, the talent is there. The talent has to go out there and actually play up to that. I get so tired of people throwing out these names like, this is a great defense. This is elite defense. We got Nick Bosa, Chase Young, even though he hasn't done anything since we traded for him. We got a Rick Armstead, Javon Hargrave, Fred Warner, and Tre'Davious Ward. Like, okay, who cares? Where are these guys at when you're getting your ass ate up in the first half against the Lions? When you were getting spat out and chewed up by Jordan Love. Nowhere. Yeah, you came away with some big plays down the stretch, but you can't expect to win games that way. You need your defense to play up to the level of talent that they have on paper. You need your defensive line to get after Patrick Mahomes. If your defensive line can have the same performance that Tampa Bay had when they beat Patrick Mahomes in 2020, during that weird season, you are going to win this game. No ifs and buts about it. If you can dominate Kansas City up front with your defensive line and all the talent that you have against your offensive line, which definitely should be possible, you know, you definitely win this game and you win it convincingly. But even if you don't win it convincingly, if you got Mahomes running for his life and you know the receivers aren't that great, your secondary plays good when your pass rush is playing good. It's like they eat off each other. They feed off each other in a sense. But when the pass rush can't get home, and you're asking guys like Amendola Lenore or Ambry Thomas or Tre'Davious Ward to be sticking with these receivers and Travis Kelce in coverage, that's where you get in trouble. Your pass rush has to step up in this game. Your defense has to play at a really high level. Even if your run defense isn't that great. You know, Kansas City is still a team that is going to sling the ball because they have Patrick. But if you can make them a one-dimensional team and make them have to play into their weakness, their inability to generate big plays, because your secondary is good enough where they should be able to slow down these receivers. I don't know if you can slow down Travis Kelce, but with the lack of talent that they have and weaponry, defensively, as long as you show up and you don't have any issues with effort and everybody is playing at the level that they should, you should easily be able to shut down Kansas City's offense. Even if your run defense isn't that great because they still have to throw the football. They run the football on first, second down, it's over. Hell, you get 2 yards on first down, 3 yards on third down, you still might pass it. The 49ers defense has to step up for them to win this Super Bowl. And lastly, the most important thing is that Jake Moody, do not put the game in his hands. All right, if Jake Moody has to kick a 48-yard or 52-yard game-winning field goal for San Francisco to get the Lombardi this year, just kiss it goodbye because he's going to miss it. You got to win this game with Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, all being able to get the ball in the end zone. You can't settle for 3 in a game like this. You can't leave a game like this up to Jake Moody. Maybe 1 or 2 field goals is it, but even that's risky. But game on the line, you need Jake Moody to win you the game. He's not going to do it for you. So you need to find a way to have success in the red zone. You can't afford to be coming away with field goal attempts, because even a 2019-yard field goal for Jake Moody isn't even a guarantee. The 49ers need to be dominant in the red zone. Go for it on fourth down if you have to. If it's 4th and 1, 4th and 2, 4th and 3, who gives a damn? Like, go for it, because you don't need this dude, Jake Moody, taking any field goal attempts, because there's a higher chance he misses it than he makes it. And then secondly, you need to get out to a fast start. Then third, you need Brock Purdy to play a great game. All 4 quarters, all 60 minutes. Play through the whistle, as they say. Run through the line. Because if he plays well in the second half but struggles in the first half, you're going to lose this game. And he also has to play well in the fourth quarter against an aggressive defense. And then lastly, Kyle Shanahan needs to make good decisions in crunch time. Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach. There's a reason why the majority of his understudies are taking over the league, because his offense works. And he's been in these games before, and he's always melted in the fourth quarter when the pressure is the highest. They say pressure either busts pipes or makes diamonds, and every time Kyle Shanahan is in the Super Bowl and that pressure is on, that pipe gets bursted every single time. This is what I believe the 49ers need to do to win Super Bowl 58. And this is their path to being able to take down Kansas City and stop the dynasty that people presume to be in waiting. Super Bowl 58 MVP, who's going to win it? Is it going to be Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant? Is it going to be Patrick Mahomes taking home the award again? Could it be Nick Bosa, Chris Jones? This is my list of players who have the best chance to capture Super Bowl 58 MVP. I'm going to start off with that man, Patrick Mahomes. He's the golden waiting. He's in another Super Bowl once again. And if he wins this one, that's three now. He ain't too far away from Brady. Still got some ways to go, but he's making some progress. And you also know that Patrick Mahomes in a game like this is always going to give you his best performance. Unless the offensive line and everybody around him is just completely boo-boo, Patrick Mahomes is going to ball out. He's going to do his thing. And with that, he probably would be my pick to win MVP. But he's not, because I believe that this game is going to come down to somebody winning MVP who's not Patrick Mahomes. Because my next candidate is Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, we thought he was washed up. We thought he was done for. He gets to the playoffs and he just all of a sudden starts playing the best football of his NFL career. This is the best postseason performance or postseason run that Travis Kelce has ever had. And he's doing it when we all started to count him out. For him to go for two touchdowns and maybe have 170 yards in this game is possibly what it's going to take for him to win MVP. But I definitely believe that it's capable of happening. And if I was a betting man, I probably would put more money on Travis Kelce winning it than Patrick Mahomes, as crazy as it sounds. But Travis Kelce, you know, I believe that he's going to have an all-time performance against this 49ers secondary. I don't think that that secondary is good unless that pass rush gets going. And I really expect this to be a magical outing out of Travis Kelce. You may think I'm crazy right now, but I promise you, I really believe that Travis Kelce has better odds of winning MVP than Mahomes in this game, bro. Like, you got Taylor Swift there. So, of course, how epic would it be? You not only get Travis Kelce winning the Super Bowl, but you get a winning MVP too? With Taylor Swift there to support him winning that? Also, come on, man. Like, you got to take some of these things into account. Like, just think about it. Taylor Swift is at the game. She sees Travis Kelce not just win the Super Bowl, but win MVP? Come on, man. You know if Travis Kelce has one of those games when he just goes off, which I believe he will, there's no way they're not going to give him MVP. Like, Taylor Swift is there. You know, a lot of people like to tell you that the NFL is rigged, and it just might be. It just might be rigged. But if it truly is rigged, why would they not want to give it to Travis Kelce when Taylor Swift is there? You know, the ratings, the viewership, the popularity. I mean, come on, man. It just makes sense for them to want to give or find a reason to give Travis Kelce MVP over Mahomes. And remember that Brady didn't win MVP in all his Super Bowls. Like, didn't Julian Edelman win MVP one time from him? So I'm just saying, like, I think there's a lot brewing for Travis Kelce winning MVP. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. If he goes out and he balls out, I'm talking 275 passing yards, three TDs, no interceptions, 30, 40 rushing yards, he's winning MVP. Even if Christian McCaffrey plays well, like, running backs already have a low chance at winning MVP award as it is, in winning any MVP award as it is. All right, running backs just aren't really in the discussion when it comes to the Super Bowl MVP award. The last time a running back won MVP in this game was like in the 90s. I think it was Terrell Davis with the Broncos. Don't quote me on that. So Chris McCaffrey, even if he does play well, if Brock Purdy just has a game when he just is locked in from start to finish and he's going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, or hell, he even outplays Patrick Mahomes, or even if he engineers a game-winning touchdown drive and the 49ers win the game, like, there's no way he's not going to win MVP. Like, if I was ranking these guys, and this is not a ranking, this is just a list, it'll be Travis Kelce, Brock Purdy, then Mahomes. Like, they want to give it to one of these two guys. I'm trying to tell you guys, like, I took a little bit of a glimpse of the script. They emailed it out to me. I'm cool with Roger Goodell. I know some people. I know how to pull some strings. I'm trying to tell y'all, like, they're looking for a reason to give it to either Brock Purdy or Travis Kelce. Mr. Relevant, the last pick of the draft, winning Super Bowl MVP, after going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, you know they want to give it to him. So, he's on this list. Next up, I got Nick Bosa. Edge rushers always are going to be in the discussion for the Super Bowl MVP because they have one of the biggest tasks in all of football, which is being able to stop the quarterback getting after him. And if Nick Bosa gets 2.5 sacks, he has one of those Von Miller-like performances that we've seen him have back in his vintage days with the Denver Broncos, he can win MVP. Let's say Nick Bosa gets like 2.5 sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. He'll have enough stats that he'll be in the running for that award because that would be an incredible performance. And we saw what he did against the Detroit Lions. He was really dominant in the second half. He didn't show up the first half, but he was getting after him in the second half. So Nick Bosa, if he has a great performance in this game, I could see him winning it as well. Christian McCaffrey, I believe it's going to take a lot for him to win this thing. Honestly, even if he goes off for like 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, I don't think that's enough. Christian McCaffrey has to have a legacy game. This has to be one of these games that goes down in Super Bowl history where he goes for like 150 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. He's averaging 7-6 yards per carry. It has to be a monstrous stat line. Then he may have to have like 70 receiving yards, maybe 4 receptions. It's just really hard to see Christian McCaffrey winning MVP this year if Brock Purdy plays well or if Nick Bosa shows up, because the running back position just doesn't get a love. But I got to put him on this list because he's not just a running back. He's an all-purpose player. And with the amount of touches and the workload that he's going to get in this game, they kept him healthy for all of this season, and they're going to ride that boy in this game. And he is going to get at least 20 to maybe 30 touches at the max. So there is the possibility that he does have a monstrous game. And no matter what Brock Purdy does, you can't deny Chris McCaffrey. But you're pretty much saying Chris McCaffrey is going to have to be the best player on the 49ers offense. And the majority of times, that ends up being the quarterback in the Super Bowl. So it's just hard to see Chris McCaffrey winning this award. But at the same time, you still can't count him out. Next up, I have Chris Jones. Like Nick Bosa, he's one of those players that if he can take over this game, he gets 2-3 sacks potentially. He has a forced fumble, a couple tackles for losses. He's going to be in the running. And like somebody in the chat said, shout out to my guy Sean Ackridge. He said that Nick Bolton was the real MVP last Super Bowl. And he definitely had an argument for getting the award. Chris Jones is going to have the luxury of going up against an interior offensive line of San Francisco that is not good. And he definitely has a pathway to being in the running for Super Bowl MVP because we know how much of a monster and how much of a hassle this dude is for opposing offenses to handle. So I think that if he gets like 2-3 sacks, which I could see him probably having like 3 sacks in a game like this, you know, I can definitely see him winning Super Bowl MVP also. Debo Samuel. Some of you guys might say Brandon Ayuk, but I go Deebo Samuel because Deebo Samuel, not only is he one of those players that always shines in big-time games, but he plays running back also. And they're going to have to find a way to give Christian McCaffrey a little bit of a breather, and they're definitely not going to put in Elijah Mitchell, I don't think. So the next best thing would be putting Deebo in. Plus, Deebo can hit the corner. He brings a different kind of skill set, and he's great after contact. He's like, when you watch Deebo Samuel run the football after he catches it, it's like watching Marshawn Lynch. It's like playing. It's like watching somebody play Madden 25. You remember Madden 25 when you could run over anybody? The truck stick just always worked. Well, that's Deebo Samuel. It's really hard to get this dude down on first initial contact. Like, he's always running guys over, mauling guys to the ground. This is one of my favorite players to watch. And I expect this offense to run through him and CMC. I don't expect George Kittle to have a big performance. I'm not expecting a big game out of Brandon Ayuk. I believe those players are going to make plays, but Deebo Samuels and Christian McCaffrey outside of Brock Purdy have the highest chance of being able to win this thing when you think about how electrifying they are with the ball in their hands and what they can do anytime you put the ball in their possession. Deebo Samuel, he could have a game where he goes for 160 receiving yards, six catches, and then has maybe a big run of 30 yards, and then a couple of other carries that boost the total rushing yards average for him up to 60, 70, and then he'll have over 200-plus all-purpose yards, which could be a Super Bowl record or something like that. So if he has one of those kinds of games that we've grown accustomed to seeing out of him in these kinds of matchups, he definitely can win MVP. These are my Super Bowl 58 MVP candidates. I know some people are going to say, what about Isaiah Pacheco? Like, I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is going to have the kind of game to be in the running for this award. Now, he is going up against a really lackluster run defense, but I don't think he's going to pop off for 150 yards, two touchdowns, 6-7 yards per carry. I don't think that's going to happen. Christian McCaffrey, even with him, it's just, you got to think about what he does in the passing game as well. And Christian McCaffrey, we know there's a good possibility he's going to be the best player on the 49ers offense, potentially, if it's not Brock Purdy. But normally, with this award, majority of the times going to the quarterback can't be the best player in the game if you're going to give it to the running back. And I just don't think that Isaiah Pacheco is going to have a chance of being the best player on Kansas City's offense in this game. I really believe it's just Travis Kelce, because he's going to be able to pull off that kind of stat line where he has like 160, 170 receiving yards, two touchdowns, he can't be stopped, and plus Taylor Swift is there too, so that sweetens up the deal. Some people probably would say Brandon Ayuk, Fred Warner. I just think that the pass rusher or the pass rushers affect the game so much more, and they get so much more attention, that for a guy like Fred Warner to win it, he really has to have a crazy game. Look at what Nick Bolton did last season, and especially in last year's Super Bowl against Philadelphia. You thought he should have won it, but they didn't give it to him. So if they didn't give it to Nick Bolton last year, imagine what the hell Fred Warner's going to have to do to win the award. So these are the seven players that I believe have the best chance at winning Super Bowl 58 MVP. I got one more thing before we get up on out of here. Ever since Taylor Swift entered the NFL world, dating star tight end for Kansas City, Travis Kelce, all the NFL seems to do anytime we see a Kansas City Chiefs game on the television is pan over for 10, 15 seconds to look at Taylor Swift. And many NFL fans are fed up with this. They're fed up with all the talk about Taylor Swift. They're tired of all the millions of social media posts about her. They're tired of always hearing about her. They're tired of seeing her being shown on television during the games when we've come to watch football. Like, listen, NFL fans, listen. If you feel this way, I understand. And I'm not here to criticize you or call you weird. I'm just here to ask you, you know, do you understand why Taylor Swift gets so much attention by the NFL because she brings in something that the NFL hasn't been able to capture, and that is the woman audience. The NFL is one of the most popular sports in the world, but they probably have a really small women's fan base compared to the other global sports out there. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, football isn't really being known as a girls or women's sport. Now that you got flag football being an Olympic sport, that's going to change. But you also have, you know, the off-the-field things that go on with these players and these women. And you already know how these players are. Sometimes they don't know how to keep their hands off women. And women get turned off to watching the NFL because of things like that. So Taylor Swift is good for the NFL because she's good for the NFL's image. Think about all of the problems that the NFL has dealt with when it comes to domestic violence issues and how severe their punishment is when it comes to disciplining the players because of these actions. Taylor Swift makes women want to watch the NFL. Now, it may not be because they want to see the Chiefs. You know, they're only watching for two reasons. They want to see every time Taylor Swift is on camera so they can post and talk about it, and also so they can just be nosy and watch her boyfriend play. Taylor Swift is probably the most popular person in the world right now, or one of the most popular. I remember I was watching the Chiefs-Bears game during the regular season, right? And the Chiefs were just kicking the shit out of the Bears. And I was about to change the channel, but they showed Taylor Swift, and I was like, oh, so her and Travis Kelce are really dating. And that ended up being the NFL's most watched game that week. They beat a bad Chicago Bears team at the time that was absolutely awful, just blowing them out. I think the game was over at halftime, and yet people were still watching it. It still was the most watched game of the week over Sunday Night Football because of Taylor Swift's presence. Taylor Swift has made the game even more popular than what it already has been. The NFL is at an all-time high when it comes to popularity. Now they're trying to find different ways to grow that popularity outside of the country, and that involves them having to have a lot of these international games in different countries, and also them getting a different kind of attention from a different kind of audience. Taylor Swift's audience isn't the kind of audience that is probably known for watching football. Now, I don't have statistics here, but if I were to give you a rough estimate, I'd probably say only 15 to maybe 19% of Taylor Swift fans were watching football before she started publicly dating Travis Kelce and the NFL was showing her. All right. Now, don't quote me on that. That's just a rough estimate that I have in my head. All right, if you got a better one, you let me know. But Taylor Swift, with how popular she is and how many eyes she's getting, of course, the NFL is going to show her. And they don't show her for like 2-3 minutes. I know they do show her probably 20-30 times throughout the games, but it's only for 10-15 seconds. It really frustrates you that much? Just to see like a glimpse of Taylor Swift? I mean, like, she is pretty cute. I'm saying now, she's not my type. You feel me? I like him a little bit more sweeter around the waist. But Taylor Swift, you know, like, the fact that she is in the NFL attending these games, you know, is going to pique interest of a lot of people. And what you may not be interested in, a lot of people are. So therefore, when they show Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl, this is what you got to do. You go up. Well, you get up out of your seat or where you're lying down at when you see on the screen, and you just go get you something to drink out of the kitchen, all right? Now, what you get out of the kitchen is up to you. Now, if you get some water, some soda, that's cool. But if you want to make this a little bit fun, you know, the night before the Super Bowl, go out, get you a little bit of tequila, maybe get you some of that New Amsterdam, you feel me? And have yourself a little bit of a game, you know? Every time the NFL shows or cuts to Taylor Swift on TV, guess what you do? You take a shot. So at least, you know, like, you may not be able to tolerate seeing Taylor Swift on the damn TV screen every 3-5 minutes, but at least you can have a little bit of fun and feel a little bit good while being tortured. But in all seriousness, people, like, what Taylor Swift has done for the NFL has been really huge. It's the equivalent to what Deion Sanders has done with Colorado in college football. Taylor Swift is a really big person in pop culture. She brings so much attention with anything she does. And with her being in this relationship with Travis Kelce, all it has done is made the NFL more money. So, of course, they're going to keep showing her. But, you know, anytime you see her post on social media and you comment on the post how much you're getting tired of seeing her, guess what they do? They continue to post her. If you don't want Taylor Swift to be posted and you're tired of the NFL giving her so much attention, then stop giving Taylor Swift so much of a reaction when she gets posted by the NFL on social media. Because the less engagement they get on these posts, the less they're going to want to post them. Because why are you going to post something that people never engage with? They know that a lot of you guys don't care for the Taylor Swift thing and that you're going to get all riled up about it, swollen face red. But if you don't allow it to get you that way and you just ignore it and you don't comment, then you don't got to worry about it. She's generating a lot of money for this league, a lot of attention. She's increasing the viewership numbers. Will Super Bowl 58 be rigged because of her? I don't think so. But I do think if Travis Kelce has somewhat of a great performance, they will give him MVP because of her. But Taylor Swift, I don't really have an issue with her being in the NFL spotlight so much. I don't really pay it that much mind. I don't really care too much. I don't got nothing against her. Like, she's cool. Like, I used to listen to a little bit of Taylor Swift when I was riding home from school with my grandma on Fridays, and she came up on the radio. She ain't really somebody I would listen to, but, you know, she got some hits that I kind of mess with. I don't got nothing against her. Like, I kind of like Taylor Swift. But, you know, like, I do get a little bit annoyed with how much sometimes they do kind of, like, glaze her a little bit. They do be kind of glazed and hell of a lot. I'd be like, man, like, talk about the game. But it doesn't really get me that frustrated where I think to pick up my phone or my tablet and say, oh, like, I'm getting fucking tired of seeing Taylor Swift. You know, like, anytime you comment and you engage with these Taylor Swift posts, they're going to keep making them. And even make more of them just to piss you off a little bit more. But this is just my thoughts on the whole Taylor Swift NFL thing that people are getting upset about. Some people don't care. A lot of people don't care. But there's a large group of people out there that, you know, Taylor Swift does offend every time they see her on TV. This is it for this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. If you enjoyed, leave a like, subscribe to the channel for more content. Remember that we're not just a YouTube channel. We are a podcast. You can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. All you got to do is type in the JT Sports Podcast and it will pop up. Like, subscribe, share the podcast, and I will see you guys next week with another episode of the JT Sports Podcast.